Open your Bibles with me. Let's go over to the book of Jude. Okay? The book of Jude. We're going to go to verse 17. The book of Jude, just before Revelation. Verse 17 says this, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life." Now, I want you to notice this. He says, listen, there's always going to be mockers. There's always going to be those that are making fun, those that are pretenders. Come on now. It's sad to say, but there's a lot of pretenders in the church. They pretend to love Jesus. They pretend to be, you know, Christians. They pretend, but you can tell from their actions that they're not. Come on, we need to be genuine believers. He says, I'm just telling you now. If you remember, the apostles told you that they would be mockers and stuff. But he said, now, but you, here's what you do. He said, but you building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So in other words, we can't and are not responsible for what somebody else does. We're only responsible for us. Okay? So he says, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. And notice verse 20, though, 21, because this is where I kind of want to zero in on. He says, keep yourself in the love of God. Keeping yourself in the love of God. In other words, I've got something to do with this thing. It's not that God tries to take His love away from us. It's that we walk away from the love of God. You see, and so He tells us, He says, something you have to do. Not only do you got to build yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost, but He said, you've got to keep yourself in the love of God. In other words, you need to stay in position with God to where the full flowing love of God is flowing over you at all times. You can't allow yourself to get out from under the flow. When you do, you're going to get yourself in some trouble. So he says for us, he says, you keep yourself in the love of God. Now, God's love is everlasting. It's unending. But we have to understand that it's not God, it's us. Look here in Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at this scripture here. Go with me over to verse 35. Romans 8 and verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice here that Paul's writing here to the church at Rome. He's saying, listen, there is absolutely nothing or nobody that can separate you from the love of God. You have to get a hold of that now. But here's the thing, folks. Again, we have to keep ourselves in that love. God's love is there. And you know, the thing about it is, we are commanded to love. 1 John 4, chapter verses 7 and 8, chapter 4. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not love of God, ourselves walking away from it, getting out from under that umbrella, if you would say. Because God, I mean, even from the foundation of the world, God planned on us. Matter of fact, John 3:16, very familiar, you already know it, but he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved the world. And that's when the world didn't love him, and the world still doesn't love him. Come on. The world still hates Jesus. When they don't mind you talk about God, but don't talk about Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you see, you cannot separate God from His love because God is love. But you can separate yourself. Notice that nothing else can. Notice not even any creature, nothing above, beneath, but you can by not keeping yourself in the love of God. Now, there is no shortage when it comes to the love of God, but there is a shortage when it comes to the participation of the love of God. In other words, God's not lacking in love in any way, but our problem is that we don't want to participate in the love, or people don't want to participate. They don't want to keep themselves in. They don't want to stay in the love of God. They would rather get about their own business, living their lives, doing their thing, and they're leaving God out. Church, we cannot leave God out. We have to make sure that we've got Him front and center of our lives at all times. Now, I understand we live busy lifestyles. There's things that goes on. But when we get too busy for God, we're way too busy. Amen. It's time for the church to realize right now is the time that we should be focusing more and more on the things of God. Because I feel in the spirit realm that God is moving in a way that He's telling His church, come on up higher, get yourself lined up a little more, let the things of the world slide because they don't matter no way. Come on. Listen, folks, I know it seems like if you listen to the world, watch the world and all that, they make it act like the things of the world mean something, but they don't. They don't mean anything. Listen, we saw out in California, our Hollywood elites and a lot of others, you know, millions and billions of dollars. I mean, you know, the finest homes in the finest place, beachfront. I mean, you know, it just like that, gone up in smoke. All those worldly positions, all that made it look like they was something, and all of a sudden they're homeless. Come on now. You see, worldly things don't matter. What matters is what I got in here. What matters is what's going to be of eternal value. And that's our relationship with the Lord Jesus is the most important thing we can have. Because there's one thing for certain and two things for sure. There ain't nobody going to love you like God loves you. Nobody's going to love you like God loves you. Understand that. Nobody else is going to give up their only begotten Son for you. I'm telling you. God He had out of love so that you and I would not have to go to hell. That's how much He loved us. Think about that one for a minute. You see, but every day we look around and we see folks that you know, Paul has to write to the church at Rome and tell them, say, keep yourself in the love of God. Well, you know, we need to be screaming real loud to the church right now. Because most of the church is so comfortable in their own skin and so comfortable in the world, they don't even feel like that they need to be in God's presence. I don't know about you, but I need God 24/7, 365. I need Him in my life at all times. Listen, you know, and here's the thing. When things are going good, you need Him just as much then as you do when the things are going bad. And you know, the trouble is, a lot of folks don't call on Him until they get in trouble. Come on now. But we need to be calling on Him at all times. I mean, if it's good, I want it to get gooder. Don't you? Come on. And if it's bad, I want Him there to help me. And so we've just got to keep pressing in, got to keep pushing in and keep ourselves in the love of God. Don't allow situations, circumstances, what somebody else thinks or what's going on in the world. Don't allow that to draw you away. Did you hear me? There's things in the world, right now folks seem like they're more involved. They'd rather talk about politics than talk about God. Right? Come on, it don't matter if heaven and earth will pass away, right? But Jesus said, my words will not pass away. Come on, don't matter what's going on in the land. If I've got Jesus, I've got it all. So I'm keeping myself in the love of God. It don't matter what's going on in this country. Did you hear me? See, you and I, we've got to get that. We've got to be citizens of this earth. Come on, we're living on the earth, but we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We're not worldly kids, we're godly kids. And so this world system, yeah, it's going to do its thing. But God's system is going to do its thing. And I want to make sure I'm operating in the system of God, not in the system of the world. So it says, you know, keep yourself in the love of God. Listen, I thought about this as I was just kind of meditating on this. You know, you can go out to the ocean. Have you ever been out and seen the ocean? Most folks been out and seen the ocean. I mean, you know, when you're there, it's just that big, vast body of water. Right? I mean, you know, it's beautiful. You're looking at it, and sometimes the waves coming in, depending on what the wind's doing, what's going on and stuff. Just absolutely beautiful. You can stand there, and as far as the eye can see, there's water. So there's no shortage of water, right? When you're looking there at that ocean. It just looks like a never-ending water. But unless you get in that water, you won't get wet. Come on, think about it for a minute now. You stand there on that beach, you know, look at that and say, man, that water looks good. I bet that's refreshing. I like it to swim in that. I like to get in there and just dunk my head. And you can sit there. But if you don't get in, you won't get it. Right? No shortage of water. But you won't get the least bit wet unless you get in. There is no shortage of God's love. But unless you get into the love of God, you won't get it. You have to step into the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Now here's the thing, see. One of the reasons that a lot of folks won't go ahead and just get in is because it takes effort to get in. Right? Come on, let's just think. Let's go back to the water a minute. You know, you got. Especially if you're at the ocean, you know, I said the waves will be coming in and out. And I'm sure most of you have at least waded out. But you when you get in, it takes effort. You can't just stand there and get wet. You got to walk in. You got to get in there. And you wade out, and all of a sudden, as you're wading out, now all of a sudden the waves start hitting you. You know, and the deeper you go, the more the waves affect you. Right? You know, you get out there, and all of a sudden now, not only did it take effort to get in, now it takes effort to stay in. Anybody been out there? You know, you're sitting there, and you just got to kind of brace yourself, you know. And then if you see a big one coming, you may have to just turn around and just take it, you know. There's some effort to staying in the water. It's the same way with the love of God. It takes effort to get in. We've got to consciously think, I'm keeping myself in the love of God. But also, we've got to consciously be aware that it's going to take effort for me to stay in the love of God. Because if I just let myself go, my fleshly nature will take over. And the first thing you know, I won't be operating in the love of God. I'll catch myself back over here in my flesh. It's real easy to do. Right? I'll tell you one of the things that will get you over in your flesh quicker than anything is getting on social media. Right? Come on now. You're going through there. Maybe you're just flipping, see what everybody's doing. And then all of a sudden, one of them things pops up that just gets under your nerves. Right? Somebody says something real stupid. I know nobody never says nothing real stupid. But they'll say something like, and then all of a sudden, there you are, instead of you having the peace of God, now you're mad. Come on. Right? I mean, now you're aggravated. And I don't know about you guys. I'm human just like you are. And sometimes when that happens to me, it's all I can do. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, I got to come back. Okay? I got something. And I can say it, and I mean, I'll be right, and I'll cut them to the bone. But I have to fight that. I can't do that. Because that don't mean nothing. I got myself emotionally involved now. And how many knows your emotions will mess you up? You know, and I've allowed it to actually make a connection to my spirit now because I'm angry. And so I have to learn how, no, I ain't doing that. Nope, I'll just flip on, I'll find something better or just turn it off, one of the two. And most of the time you're better off if you just turn it off. Come on, just get the peace of God again. Right? See, that's what, when we're talking about keeping ourselves in the love of God, the things that I would say probably if I said what I was thinking and wanted to, it wouldn't be too lovely. Right? And the Bible says plainly, whatever soever things are lovely, think on these things. Don't think on what you'd say to somebody that, you know, somebody that just don't know, okay? Somebody that don't know that they don't know. Right? Come on now. You know, so you have to, it's a struggle. It's a constant reminder to you and I that we're keeping ourselves in the love of God, and it's going to take effort for us to do that. Take effort consciously, conscientiously walking into the love of God, keeping ourselves there, and intentionally making sure we stay there. It's really, I mean, you can drop out in a hurry if you want to. But God doesn't want that. God wants His love always overflowing us, always flowing us. But, you know, the truth is, a lot of folks have their life on cruise control. Amen. They do. They have their God life on cruise control. What do you mean by that? I mean, they just said it and forget it. They got saved. They got baptized. And now they're just kicking back and just going with the flow. They're not making any efforts. Right? Come on, think. I mean, just kind of think about it, you know. But the thing about it is those same people that got their God life on cruise control, they're giving very, very much attention to their world life. Amen. You know, you have to kind of think it. See, they have it backwards. When it comes to the things of God, they're just on cruise control. Well, I don't know. Are we going to go to church this Sunday? I don't know. I don't know about you. I'm pretty tired. We you know, after all, we was at the ball game last night till 12 o'clock. I was sleeping in the morning. It's quiet, but it's truth. You know it's truth. See, they've got that thing backwards. If you was going to do anything to midnight, it ought to be in God's presence. But see, when your God life's on cruise control, what that means is you're just sitting back and you don't make any adjustments unless you absolutely have to. You're just cruising along. But when you're giving your world life all this attention, then all of a sudden, you know, we got to be here at this time. We got to be there at that time. We got to do this here. We got to do that. And they're always on the move trying to keep up with the world and the world life versus their God life. And matter of fact, don't let my world life get in the way of my God life, because I'm going with my world life no matter what my God life does. Until they need God. Right? I'm going to just be as blunt as I can. A basketball won't do you no good when you need God. A trophy won't do you any good when you need God. Come on now. Sports ain't going to do you no good when you do good. Sports can't heal you. Sports can't save you. Sports can't get you to heaven. Now, don't get mad at me. I like sports as an excellent, you know, certain ones as much as anybody else. I'm not into all that. I'm kind of an odd person. I was already fishing and hunting, so I, you know, always too fat to play basketball, too fat to play football, and we didn't even have football when I was in high school, so it didn't make no difference. You know, so I never was into the whole lot, but I was into that other side of sports. You know, the outdoors type thing instead of the indoors type thing. But what I'm saying is, it don't matter what it is, it's still, you have to look and understand that none of that is what's going to pay heavenly dividends. Won't save you either. That's exactly right. And here's the thing. We have to understand that, and we realize, yes, it's fine, and there's nothing wrong with any of that I just said. But it has its place. And you have to learn, if you're going to keep yourself in the love of God, the focus has got to be on God first, and then other things can come after, right? That's kind of what Jesus said, wasn't it? But seek ye first the kingdom of God in His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. God doesn't mind if you play basketball, football, or whatever, fish, or hunt, or whatever it is, whatever your thing. He doesn't mind. But He wants to make sure that we're putting His love and putting Him first. And then we can do all things. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, God loves you so much, He'll provide the money for you to do those things. Isn't that a good thing? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll grant you the desires of your heart. He'll let you do stuff. He wants you to do stuff. He wants you to have and enjoy life. He said, that's why I came. That you might have abundant life and have, you know, live it to the full till it overflows. And so, but most folks, again, they've got it backwards. They think everything else comes first and God comes last. It's true, religious folks especially. But it's sad, the same thing's true of Word of Faith people. if they become religious too. Because they've gotten themselves away from the Word of God and they've gotten themselves into this religious mode that says, you know, well, I'm just going to be like everybody else. You're not like everybody else. You've got to understand that. You are a born again son or daughter of God. And not only are you born again, but you're anointed because you're born again. And you've been given power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. And you know, when you said, I mean, come on. Scotty always drives a hot rod, usually. And Stevie and these boys, they've got them. You know, those cars have got power. I mean, you know, I can take the Traverse out there and be going down the round road at 60 miles an hour. And I can trump that Traverse out there. And it'll go, and it'll just speed up a little bit. You know, I mean, it'll drive pretty fast after a while. Scotty can take his car and be cruising along 60 miles an hour, and when he pushes it down, he has to let back off from it because it starts spinning while he's going 60 miles an hour, and if he don't let back off from it, he'll lose control of it because he loses traction. That's how much power that car's got, okay? But here's the thing. On cruise control, I got the same thing he's got. Set him on 60, we're both going the same thing, and he's not got a thing over me. You see, do you understand my analogy here? What I'm saying is, if we that know we have the power of God residing on the inside of us, if we just sitting around cruising like the rest of the church is cruising, or the rest of so-called Christians or whatever are cruising, then we don't have a thing in this world over them because we're not using the power that we have. We're just cruising. We're just keeping up. Church, God didn't call us just to keep up. He called us to excel. He says, you are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. He didn't say just you're conquerors. He says you're more than conquerors. Come on. Well, I mean, that puts you a step above a conqueror. Right? Think about that for just a minute. You're more than just on cruise control. But again, it all comes back to you keeping yourself in that place. It's a choice. It's a decision for you and I to keep ourselves there and have the mentality, I'm more than a conqueror. You have that mentality, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, I'm just getting a little bit more all the time when I'm talking to folks. And when they say something, I'm just speaking up and just saying different. Somebody say something about the weather. I'm speaking up and just saying, I don't know about you, but I can do things. And it's not me. I know it's God in me. But I've been a given authority. I know. You know, situation. You know, now there's just some situations you just can't do a thing about. That's not what my Bible says. That's not what my God says. Come on, church. You see, but it takes that effort, and also it takes the fact that people look at you funny. They think you're strange. But I don't care. I'd rather be strange and right. Right? That's part of being peculiar. That's good. Yeah. I don't care what they think. It doesn't matter about it. I'm going to say what God says no matter what they say. You see. And the only way you can do that, man, you've got to maintain that relationship. You've got to keep yourself in the love of God. You can't be standing on the outside looking in. You can't be standing, you know, I mean, you can stand on the beach all day and watch folks. I mean, man, that looks like that's a lot of fun out there on the water. That look at that, man, that watch them, man, they're skiing. Look out there. Watch at them on surfing. Wow. That looks like that would be fun. You'll never know unless you try it. You'll never know unless you get in there. You're probably going to thump your head some until you learn what you're doing. But you'll never know it unless you get in. You can stand over and dream about what it's like, think about what it's like, but you won't know what it's like till you try. You see, and so when it comes to the things of God, you don't know what you can do until you try. You can sit there and think, well, you know, I mean, who am I? I'll tell you who you are. You're God's child. You're one of His favorite children. I would tell you you're a favorite, but you're not, because I am. Okay? And see, that ought to be a good argument. Every person in here should have just real quickly, I know you don't like to disagree with your pastor, but you said, I'm a pastor, I am. Because every one of us ought to see ourselves as God's favorite child. Because we are. He's not a respecter of persons. He loves us all equally. And we're all His favorite. Isn't that wonderful? We have a parent that doesn't choose between his kids. Right? Now, come on. A lot of parents do. You know, they've got their favorites. They say, you know, some the older, some the younger, some in the middle kids. We're always left out. You know, I was a middle kid. Pastor Ed was a middle kid. But are you, what was you? Young? Was you favored? That's because you're a baby. No, I'm just kidding. But most of the time, okay. But there's always, you know, it seems like there seems to be that, but with God there's not. There's not a favorite. He loves us all equally. And so we've got to just realize I'm going to keep myself right in there. And, you know, I don't care if I make you jealous of me. I'm really not. You know, some siblings get jealous of them because the parents pet around on them and love on them and stuff and say, well, you know, you love them better than you do me. Well, I'm going to make sure I'm getting loved on. I mean, you know, it's I can prove that biblically. Remember John, when he wrote, he said the one that Jesus loved. Yeah. Can you, you have to realize now they're human just like us. Can you imagine when they're looking at John's writings there, the rest of the disciples? Of course, the thing about it was John was the youngest, and they may have been dead when John wrote that. But I'm sure when John wrote that, if any of them was alive and they saw that, they said, what's he talking about? He loved me just as good as he did him. Just because he laid around on him. Come on. No, I want to keep myself in the love of God. Now, let's look at something. Look over here with me on 1 John. I'll move along here. 1 John. Chapter 2, look at verse 15 here. Look what John writes to us, since he was the one that said he was the one Jesus loved. He says, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice that. Love not the world. Everything about this natural life is going to vanish away. Everything about this natural life. So it don't matter, you know, what we accumulate, what we names, it doesn't matter, it's going to vanish away, you know. James says in James 4, verse 14, he says, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So this life that folks are trying so hard to, you know, accomplish some great things here in this world, it's going to vanish away. It's going to vanish away. The same graves that we put beggars in, homeless folks, poor folk, when they die, it's the same graves that you're going to put the person that's got the most money in the world. They're all going back to the dust that they came from. Their money won't do them any good after they leave this life. The only thing that matters in this life is Jesus in our life. Having the love of God in our life. Making sure that we're pressing into that. If we could just get that across to the church. If we could just get them to understand that all that matters is having Jesus in their life. But it seems like that they've been so charmed by the world, it's like they're under a spell. And I understand, you know, when you're young and you're raising kids and those kind of things, and every parent's dream is to make sure that they give their kid better than they have and try to do all they can for their kid, you know. But at the same time, you have to weigh things out and make sure you put the importance on the right things. While you're raising that child, the Bible says to train up a child in the way they should go. In the way they should go. And so that means it's on the parent's side, or it's the parent's responsibility to make sure that they're teaching and bringing up their child in the love and the admonition of the Lord. That child won't know the love of God unless you bring them into the love of God. And if you don't bring them into the love of God, then how can they know? Right? I mean, you know, over in Romans when he's talking about the preacher, you know, and it talks about the fact that said, how can they hear except they be preached to them? You know, how's your kids going to know if you're not setting an example and you're not bringing them into that? You know, the example is this. I mean, yeah, it's kids don't drive. Not until they're pretty well adults by the time they drive, right? I hadn't had my license 2 years before I was married. Right? Come on. My parents didn't take me to church. They didn't go to church. I didn't know a thing in the world about God till I met a godly woman. And she brought me into the love of God. Amen. Think about that for a minute. You know, my parents, when it came to that, failed. Now, thank God both of them ended up saved before they died. Praise God for that. But I'm just saying, you know, and here's the thing. It's all about keeping in, again, making that effort. I have to just say this, okay? And you guys might get mad at me. If you get mad at me, you just have to get mad at me. We have got families in this church. I don't know their kids' names. It's quiet. You know why I don't know the kids' names? I don't ever see them. They ain't around none. Don't ever get to talk to them because I don't hardly ever get to see them. Now, I do. I understand that a lot of times I'm up here we're doing weird. But still, you know, if you're here when you're supposed to be here, sooner or later I'll finally get around to you and I'll learn. Come on. It's truth, you see. And that what that tells me is if I don't know them, then they don't know me. And there's a good chance they don't even know God. Amen. So they don't have a spiritual leader and they don't have a spiritual life. And whose fault is that? It's that parent. Don't get mad at me now, but I'm telling some truths here. If we're talking about keeping ourselves in the love of God, then that means we're responsible for keeping ourselves in. And then if we're parents or we're overseers of somebody, then it's our responsibility to keep them in the love of God. Keep bringing them into it. Right? Expose yourself to God and expose your children to God. That's how you're going to keep them in the love of God. What a sad state would it be for Jesus to come back and parents have to look over at their kids that they've had to church a time or two, but they don't keep them in the love of God and they didn't make it. And they've got to look over and realize that they were responsible for their kids going to hell. I mean, I hate to paint that kind of a grim picture, but I'm telling you, it's plain talk is easily understood. And it's about time we've sugar-coated enough. Come on. We've had our coffee shops and our, you know, cappuccinos and all those things to try to get people in the building, but that don't get them into God. I mean, yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with those things. I'm just saying we've done everything we know. The church has done everything they could do to act like the world, to make themselves more inviting. And the truth is, if we could bring them to Jesus, then you wouldn't need coffee. You wouldn't need all this other stuff. They'd get a hold of the love of God, and they'd want to be there because they love God, not because you got a good cappuccino. Come on now. Besides that, they can drive around Starbucks and pay $5 for one if they want to. You want a bad coffee? Just go ahead. Yeah. Amen. All right. That rant's over with. Let's move on just a little bit. But it's just in me so much the fact that I look around and I see every day I see folks that say they love God. They say they're Christians. And I'm not seeing anything in them that proves it by their actions. Nothing. I don't know. Y'all know today's Ask Wednesday, right? Right? Well, if you don't know what Ask Wednesday is, that was one of the Jewish traditions coming up through, you know, and, you know, a lot of the Catholics observe it and stuff. But I noticed today that there was a lot of folks, even on news and stuff, even the reporters, they had the little cross of ashes on their forehead. You know what that means? Well, for them, it's supposed to be a symbol of giving something up. What it means is I'm a religious person and I don't have a clue. Because I gave up everything when I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. What? Know you not that you're not your own? You've been bought with the price. Right? Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And those same people with their little ashes are talking about, you know, what they were going to drink that night or at this thing or that thing. Folks, see, religion don't matter. Going through motions don't matter. And I know that might make some people may get mad at me over that. And that's what you want to do. My Bible doesn't tell me I have to do that. My Bible says to love the Lord God with all my heart, mind, and strength. That's all that matters. A symbol don't mean anything. Wearing a cross on your neck don't mean anything. Come on, Jesus has already been to the cross. He's off the cross now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. Now, I understand that's a Christian symbol, but at the same time, if I ain't got God in my heart, I ain't no use having a cross on my chest. It won't get me to heaven. And religion won't get you to heaven. Only keeping yourself in the love of God, not in the love of the church, not in the love of the tradition. Right? Come on, church. See, I mean, we sit back and the world does some stupid things and the church is just as stupid. Don't get mad at me about it, but it's just, you know, when you think that you can get to heaven and still do everything the world's doing, you're going to be surprised. There's going to be some shock and awe going on. When Jesus comes, He's not coming after those that want just go through religious symbols and do whatever they want to, you know, like the world's doing. He's coming after a holy people. He says, "Be you holy, even as I'm holy." He's coming after people that are looking for Him, He says. Looking for His appearing. Not looking for what is it late enough for us to go get us a drink yet? I mean, can you just imagine Jesus sitting around with the disciples and saying, "What time is it, boys? Shoot, it's almost late enough for us to go get us a drink." Think about it for a minute now. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? And I know, of course, there's always now Jesus drunk wine. And that's their excuse. Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. It was medical. Don't get mad at me. Now, see, some of you looking at me. You take NyQuil, right? It's so many percent alcohol. Alcohol, in proportion, that alcohol isn't medicinal. But it doesn't give you the right to get drunk on it and act like the world acts. Understand that. Okay? And we're not going to get into it. But I'm just trying to say, it's all about representing the kingdom of God. Right? It's all about putting Christ first. We are ambassadors for Christ. And when we're representing Jesus, everything we do, we ought to be doing because we love God. And everything we do ought to be representing God. And people can look at us and see. I thought it was funny. Most of us didn't know what was being said or whatever. But, you know, we a lot going on in the country. But when the Ukrainian president was over here and they got into their little scuffle, you know, the president called our vice president a name. And their ambassador put her hands down her head and shook her hand. You know why? Because she realized he's supposed to be representing their country. And here he is doing things like that. And it just shows it wasn't a very good representation. You can get mad at me if that's what you want. I don't even just whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just using that as an example to show you I don't want the angels in heaven looking down at me and going, right? I don't want Jesus looking at me and going, I want to represent God. And the only way I can represent God is making sure I'm keeping Him, His love in my heart, keeping the banner of Christ held high. So when people, they can talk about you all they want to, and they will. They can say whatever they want to about you. But as long as they're wrong, it don't matter. That's what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about they're going to talk, but just don't let your good be evil spoken of. In other words, what he's talking about, don't be guilty of what they're saying. If they're talking about you, let it just be talk. And then that's just it. I want to make sure that conversations about me, well, you know, one of these days when I go to be with Jesus, or Jesus comes and gets the church, I want it to be people to be able to say he was a godly man. That's what that he loved God. And that church is so important for all of us to be that way. That ought to be our heart's desire, that people realize and see and know that we have a desire, a sincere heart for God. Now, Psalm 127:1, y'all's leadership said they want to hear a little bit more preaching, so they're hearing a little bit more preaching. It may be Wednesday night. You can get mad at them, not me. Throwing it over on them, all right? Psalm 127:1 says this. If I can find it. I'll get to my marker in a minute. Psalm 127:1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. See, everything that the world's trying to build and people trying to build without God, it's in vain. It doesn't mean a thing. Let me give it to you in the Message. It says, if God doesn't build the house, the builders only build shacks. If God doesn't guard the city, the night watchman might as well take a nap. Think about that for a minute. Why would God say it like that? Well, here's why God would say it like that. Because if you don't have God on your side, it don't matter if you see it coming or not. You can't stop it. That's what he's saying, you know, and he's having a watchman saying, oh, the enemy's coming. Ain't nothing you can do about it if God's not on your side. Right? So we got to make sure the house we're building here, church, and that we're God's house. We got to make sure that we're building it and we have God in it. Any life that we build without God is just useless. It don't mean anything. It's going to be temporary. Here's what 2 Peter 1:10 says. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. That again in the New Living Testament says, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Notice that. Work hard to make sure you're among those. You can't just get saved and just stay home. Did you hear me? You can't just get saved and not go and grow. Come on now. Listen, if I take a plant, I can buy the healthiest plant that I can find, and I can put it in the freshest soil that I can find and plant that thing. But here's the thing. I can't just plant it and forget it. It's going to take maintenance. Right? I got to water that thing. If I want to see it grow, if not, it's going to die right there. Even though it was very healthy when it was planted. There's a lot of folks that are dying out because they're not keeping themselves maintained by keeping themselves in the love of God. They're standing outside watching us have church. Can I go a step farther? There are those that absolutely cannot get out, and God knows that. But social media, Facebook Live, YouTube, Roku Channel, all those platforms that we put this program out on is not your source. Coming to church is your source. Now, those things are great if you, I understand there, and most of that is for those that absolutely cannot get out. But a lot of folks use that for a crutch. Well, I'll just watch it on TV. Well, you can sit around in your pajamas and then you won't watch it. And besides that, there is nothing that compares to being in the presence of God with your brothers and sisters, being in here where the love of God is flowing and God's touching lives. Church, it's up to us. We can stand on the outside and look in, or we can open the door and come in. I don't know about you. I'm going to kick the door down. I'm coming in. I'm not staying outside. I'm going to get farther and farther in the... I want to get lost in the love of God. How about you? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, help us, Father God, to make sure that we're keeping ourselves where we need to be, Father God. Lord, forgive us when we mess up. Forgive us when we make mistakes. Forgive us when we're just totally wrong.